Welcome to Packet Pushers. This is a show about data networking. This is a show started by network engineers and for network engineers. So if you like to get down and nerdy about TCP and routers and security and monitoring and data centers and fabric and all that sort of stuff, you have come home. You are in the right place. And today we have a sponsored show. The good folks at Thousand Eyes are going to talk to us today about their product and give us an update on what's been going on. If you follow the Packet Pushers, you know that Thousand Eyes has been a sponsor for quite a while, and they're good stuff. They're one of us. In other words, they a couple of nerds really started this company and are bringing a very unique monitoring solution, and they keep developing it and making it even nerdier. I was at Cisco Live just last week, and they showed off some fancy new features that we're going to talk about today. So I am, as also a customer of Thousand Eyes, someone who is genuinely glad to have them on the show. Joining us today is Mohit Ladd and Nick Kephart, and I'm going to ask each of those gentlemen to introduce themselves. Mohit, starting with you.
Hi, Ethan. Excited to be on the show, and you know, outside of the sponsored show, I do listen to every single podcast that you have as well. It's a really cool show, so glad to be here. I'm Mohit Ladd. I'm the co-founder and CEO at Thousand Eyes.
And this is Nick Kephart. I run the product marketing team. And for those of you who might follow our blog, I essentially look a lot about internet routing and outages and other sorts of topics on there. And so definitely check that out if you get a chance.
In all seriousness, if you are a listener and have not checked out the Thousand Eyes blogs, I know a lot of vendor blogs are like, yeah, whatever, not good content. The Thousand Eyes blog is actually very good, and I recommend that you do check it out. It's one of the ones I follow because you get some in-depth analysis of some complex internet outages and what really happened, which is a kind of cool stuff and good contribution back to the community. So, Mohit, starting with you, we should review. I mean, I know we covered Thousand Eyes in show 247, which goes back to July 2015. And listeners, if you hadn't heard of Thousand Eyes before, go back, listen to show 247 just to get some background on what they do. But Mohit, starting with you, why don't you just do a quick level set for us about what Thousand Eyes is and what the product does?
Yeah, absolutely. So the reason we started Thousand Eyes a few years ago was because we saw a big gap in network visibility. And when we looked at all the products, the technology primarily focused on telling you what's going on in your data centers, what is going through your routers, but would not give you the complete end-to-end picture, especially when a lot of your dependence was on the internet. And with the migration to, with the adoption of cloud in particular, we realized the internet was becoming this corporate backbone, essentially. And so the notion behind starting Thousand Eyes was to bring all of our expertise from the past into play and build something that lets people essentially see through the entire network environment, whether they own it or whether they don't own it, should not matter. And that network visibility, end-to-end network visibility, tied along with the application experience, would give users a really concrete understanding of what the expected performance is for any application going over the internet, whether you're delivering it or consuming it, as well as understand why there is a degradation. So for example, we would be able to spot any sort of ISP issues in a certain region in the internet that is causing performance degradation to your application. And this could be a use case for you if you're delivering an application, like a lot of the large banks are using Thousand Eyes to make sure that when they deliver their .com assets to their consumer customers, they are able to understand the performance issues as well as the user experience in different parts of the country and the world necessarily. So the themes behind the product and the technology was a lot of focus on the core technology, which gives you the ability to see a lot of network level detail, including things like MPLS connections in ISPs, transit ISPs, etc. But outside of the theme, we have a couple other things that were really key for us. And being a part of the network troubleshooting exercises in the past, we've learned that networks are shared environments, and invariably you end up working with other parties to understand where the source of the issue is. So one pillar on which that company is built is the core technology. But outside of that, we also focus a lot on collaboration. So if you've used the product or you want to use the product, you will realize that there's a lot of flexibility in sharing data between different parties in an interactive manner, which makes it really collaborative. And then the final piece is our general theme has been that we want to solve problems, not just sell products. And so we've built a really strong network intelligence center. We call it the NIC, not the NIC on the line here, the NIC. But that NIC is essentially a bunch of fellow network geeks that can help you solve live issues as you're going through them. So the theme behind ThousandEyes is we want to empower you with as much detail as possible on networks, especially hybrid environments, but we're also there to actually help you troubleshoot issues.
And I'll just add, as someone who spent some time with a ThousandEyes product, the detail you get about what's going on across the network segment you don't own, that internet segment, is somewhat astonishing. You get to find out details about individual routers, BGP autonomous systems, how the BGP internet has converged over time. And so you can see now and then historically what's been going on in your transit path between your environment and what's up in the cloud or whatever that resource is out hanging off the internet that you're consuming. You really do get an enormous amount of insight that you wouldn't ordinarily have. It would just kind of be a black box to you otherwise. And that's the big deal here and what we're talking about. Now, guys, you've got some business updates to share, just kind of the way as your product has developed, as you've begun selling and people have been consuming your product, you've discovered some new opportunities and intelligent fits where ThousandEyes is useful. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so, you know, we've done an update a year back. I think the one thing that is really unique about ThousandEyes is that every customer that we add to the platform or every user we add to the platform makes the platform more powerful. And that is one aspect that I wanted to touch on later. But through the last year or two, we've just been seeing a lot of strong adoption in different verticals across financials, technology, healthcare, you know, manufacturing, pharma, et cetera. But what it gives us is even better understanding of the internet. And we're starting to see all kinds of interesting issues, some that we have seen before, some that we've not seen before. So that network intelligence that is being driven out of the data set is becoming more and more interesting by the day. And we'll cover some of that in this whole concept of internet outage detection later in the show as well.
Just at a high level, what we're really getting at here is you are gathering data from the customer's probes, if you will, and can aggregate that data in your cloud. And the more customers you add, the more insights you have into what's happening across the global internet. And then you can make inferences from that. That's the big idea, right?
Yeah, that's the big idea. And functionally, the way we think about it is we want to make deployments as easy as possible for our enterprise agents. So there's one category of innovation that has been happening just in customer deployment, flexibilities, et cetera. So Dockers, you know, integration with Cisco's, et cetera. Then there's a core set of data facilities that we're working on, which involves new depths of visibility, new layers of information. So we've, you know, added things which will let you see paths in both directions. So there's that sort of functional element of improvement. And then there's this concept of new vantage points, new kinds of data, new sources of data. So we have some really, really cool technology elements coming in the later half of the year. And Ethan, I believe, will be scheduling to do another update later this year as well as we launch some of that capability. But the underlying element among all of these changes is this notion of collective intelligence, where we aggregate information, especially on the internet scale, and make sense of all the data that is processed at ThousandEyes.
Well, let's look at one of the features that you've built into the product now, internet outage detection. Now, you guys gave me a demo of this at Cisco Live. How would you guys describe internet outage detection?
Sure. So I'll jump in here and talk a little bit about this new feature that we've launched this week, internet outage detection. The idea behind it and kind of the reason that we've developed it is to help our users understand whether performance problems that they see that are affecting their services are related to other services that they may care about, and also whether this is an outage of some sort of global or regional or other scope, and then be able to take action based upon that information in a way that may be different than what they would have done had they not known this information. And so today, there's lots of ways that folks do this. They communicate by picking up the phone or sending an email to, you know, one of their friends in another NOC. There's a number of listservs out there. There's a number of other services out there that kind of provide some of that information. But I think at the end of the day, one of the things that's always been missing and one of the things that we saw missing and requested from our customers was essentially, how can you understand when the core parts of the internet, the peering and transit providers, are having problems? And how do you understand that in a timely fashion and understand the scope of those problems?
Okay, I just got a comment here because I've lived in this world. I have lived this pain. So here you are, you're troubleshooting poor internet circuit performance. You got trouble tickets coming in, people telling you this is slow, that's slow. And if you don't have any sort of insight into what's going on beyond your circuit, which typically you don't, you've got your internet circuit, you can kind of see, you know, is the link saturated? Am I throwing errors? Are there discards? Those sorts of problems you can see because you own that circuit. But beyond that, you can do trace routes and see if something upstream maybe has an unexpectedly high latency when you get to that hop. But you don't, I mean, that's not very conclusive and you're only seeing things from your point of view. So something that gives you a broader context, otherwise you don't have that sitting from your desk aiming traceroute packets out your internet circuit. So what you're describing here sounds like I get a whole lot more vision into what's really going on the global internet.
That's the basic idea. So there's kind of two ways that we're doing it and giving you more of an insight into what's going on and what may or may not be causing problems that you're experiencing. So one of these is called traffic outage detection. So the idea behind it is we're constantly, on behalf of our users of our platform, sending out path traces across the internet. So understanding from various sources to destinations around the internet that our users care about, what is the performance of each of those paths? And as we were describing before, you can actually see each of those layer three hops all the way across the internet. And by understanding the patterns of performance for each of those layer three hops across the internet, we can understand specific interfaces, specific points of presence, and specific networks that are having trouble at any given time. And we can do that in a way that's not solely tied to any individual service. So this isn't just saying that AWS US East is down. What this is saying is that the Telia Ashburn POP is actually having a problem, right? And so that's, I think, a key distinction in some of the existing data sets that are out there and also some of the existing chatter that's on a lot of these listservs as people are trying to solve these problems. What we found often missing was the internet infrastructure and the network infrastructure piece of it was just totally absent in terms of a data set.
Yeah. So Ethan, as an example, you're familiar with the path tracing. So let's say you set up a test for Salesforce, right? And from your data center, from your home, you're testing the path to Salesforce. And in parallel, Nick at Thousand Eyes in San Francisco has set up a test for Workday. Now, some part of that path tracing may overlap at the core of the internet. Let's say some segment of level three, both paths are going through that segment of level three, and that particular segment of level three is having an issue. Now you have two different users and two different target tests affected by the same internet problem. And what we're doing in the back end is we're overlaying all these tests, essentially creating this topology overlay to see what is a significant outage based on the diversity of tests and users that are affected. And this is what makes it really interesting, because this is not just essentially counting, hey, we're having a packet loss from one user to one test. It's using a system which provides some guidance around something being more than an event that affects one user or one service. And that's what we would classify in this broader context. It's really interesting, but it's extremely hard. And it's exciting for us because we've worked on this for a while to get to the accuracy that we've wanted in terms of internet outages. And it's now in a shape where when you are having an issue to Salesforce next time, you can look at the test and you will get some context on the segment of the path that you're seeing a problem on, whether that's a part of a larger problem or that's just specific to Salesforce.
Now, is that actionable information for me, though? Because if I'm dealing with an internet service provider or a backbone provider that's two or three hops away from me, I'm not their customer. So how do I use this information?
Yeah, so that's a really interesting point. This is where the path visualizations are really helpful for you. So once you know that, let's say, you know, let's just say level three hypothetically is having an issue right now in part of their segments in the East Coast, right? And so when you see or you know the level three network is having an issue, you can actually visualize both the BGP routes for your prefixes as well as the layer three forwarding to overlay level three on top of the entire topology. And as you decide to switch routes, so now if you decide to change your upstream providers because you notice that the routes that are going through AT&T hardly ever go through level three again, you can shift traffic to go through AT&T and you can track the changes live to see essentially traffic moving away from the level three backbone in your own architecture. That's how we've seen people use it. It's, you know, it's not actionable to the notion of you call level three, because at that point, level three would be dealing with issues anyways. but it is actionable from a standpoint of you can visualize, now that you know the breaking point, you can visualize how it overlays on your overall topology across the internet, and then start making changes and make sure that's not the case anymore.
Basically, change your egress point, hide behind a different public NAT, and if you know that that is going a different path, you, in that way, have an opportunity to route around that problem that's been detected.
Correct, yeah. And you have to track it, but we've seen a lot of success with customers actually changing routes live when they know there's a significant issue going on with one of their upstream providers, or even if it's something a few hops away.
Okay, you guys have been mining this data for a while, perfecting the algorithm, and as you said, getting it to a point of accuracy that you're pleased with before you release it as an official feature. What outages have you observed along the way as you've been getting internet outage detection ready?
Yeah, so maybe I'll comment on a few of those. We've blogged about a few of them, but there's also a number that we haven't for various reasons. So one of the ones that I think is certainly top of mind, back in May, we saw a number of kind of outages going off. So we kind of internally have some of these alerts firing when there's big enough outages that we're seeing. And what we actually saw in this case was outages that were starting to occur between India and Western Europe on both the Tata and Telecom Italia networks. And the other interesting thing, so not only was there outages that were occurring on the data plane, so on the actual layer 3 hops that we were just talking about, but also outages occurring in the routing tables, which is kind of the second piece of this internet outage detection that we can also touch upon. And so what was going on was both the data plane and the control plane were actually starting to break down on both of these networks. And what we saw was problems in Italy and France and along essentially what looked to be potentially an undersea cable. And so as we're piecing this information together, as we're seeing prefixes dropping from the global routing tables in India, it started to become very clear that there was some major infrastructure failure, and likely one of the major Mediterranean cables had failed for several hours, actually. And there was no news to kind of corroborate this information for almost 48 hours afterwards. And it ended up being the CME Week 4 cable was cut at that time. And so that was just one example of where these problems can actually manifest. And also, I think maybe even the more interesting thing is, problems can manifest themselves in a lot of different ways. You can see a flurry of problems in the routing tables at the same time that you see problems in packet delivery, and it can be confusing to understand exactly what's causing what. And in a severe enough outage, you can actually have multiple cascading failures at once. And so that was just one example. I think a couple of others.
Actually, Nick, before we go on to the other ones, I wanted to drill into this one just a little bit more, because you said some interesting things that I think are worth expanding on. One thing you mentioned, you know, we're detecting both a control plane and a data plane failure. So I assume you're seeing BGP changes. And so one question there is, how are you detecting that BGP has flapped or there's a change in an AS path? Are you actually bringing in BGP feeds from the global internet to know those things, or making inferences based on your traffic probes and that kind of thing?
Absolutely. So maybe we can step back for 30 seconds and explain a little bit of how this is all working. So the traffic outage detection we were talking about before, which is the layer 3 information and understanding interfaces that are failing, that information is being generated by probes that we call agents. So we have the concept of cloud and enterprise agents. Enterprise agents are deployed by our users across their WAN and data centers and branch offices. And then cloud agents are deployed by ThousandEyes in key data centers around the world to give additional visibility in places that our customers may not have infrastructure. And so that's actually the data set for the traffic outage detection, the combination of those agents and vantage points, which are in thousands of locations around the world and, you know, between the two of those groups, and then all the targets and services that our customers are monitoring. In the case of routing or the control plane with BGP, we also pull full routing tables from over 300 monitors around the internet to provide additional context to understand how reachability and path changes might be affecting those layer 3 paths as they travel across the internet. And so in this case, the routing outage detection part of this is actually looking at deviations or gaps in reachability for prefixes. And when there's a large enough set of prefixes which are dropping out of enough monitors around the world, we call that an outage, and we kind of group it together. And in this case, what we were seeing in, you know, in this specific example of the CMEWE 4 cable cut was there was a significant number of outages happening in the Tata network in India. And at least what we have interpreted kind of or inferred from this information is that the BGP sessions actually failed across the Tata backbone between Western Europe and India, and therefore essentially prefixes in India started dropping from the rest of the global routing tables. And so in this case, we're actually seeing kind of two interesting pieces, and that's how you can kind of think of these things. There's two data sets here that we're merging together in a way to help folks understand it in context.
I love it. You're monitoring 300 different full BGP feeds from around the globe and then able to analyze that data. That being kind of a big deal because that's an awful lot of data, and BGP never converges on the internet these days. And so you're dealing with a constant information churn. You guys must have some significant compute power on the back end dealing with all that.
We have a lot of humans who are manually. We do have a lot of compute power, but you know, one of the astonishing things that has come out as a surprise for us is just there literally is an outage going on at every instant of time in the internet. And the difference is really between how significant it is, and we're constantly catching up to outages at the BGP layer as well as the forwarding layer. And the BGP side, and as you mentioned, it never converges. I mean, Ricardo and I did an entire PhD thesis on BGP and convergence and the instabilities. And we used to see this constant state of flux where some part of the internet is always having a BGP change. And it just keeps propagating back and forth. And there's flapping and there's hijacks and all this stuff. But what was surprising and shocking was just the amount of layer 3 outages that we're detecting in all kinds of areas, regions, and networks. And the reason it doesn't become escalated all the time is because sometimes they're localized to a certain segment or certain city or certain country. But within that community, it's still a big issue. And to us, that was the biggest surprise. And as we, you know, develop this further, you will be seeing some statistics we'll be putting out going forward, as well as just some more sort of longer term analysis of how many outages on a daily basis, while clearly defining what an outage is. And it's a significant disruption from the way we define it. It's not just one user or one company being affected. It's something that's actually affecting a multitude of users as well as target tests.
Well, you mentioned the CMEWE cable cut back in May, which was detected by the algorithms. What about other sorts of detections? What other things have you come up with?
Sure. So there's a lot of different things out there. You know, to this point, we apply a lot of algorithms behind the scenes to kind of dampen some of the noise so that you're not overwhelmed by uninteresting data. And we also try and present it in context. So some of the other ones that we saw that actually had real impacts, because the nice thing about this is you're observing this information in the context of the actual services and prefixes that you care about. There was a route leak affecting AWS back in April, where Hurricane Electric was one of the propagators, though obviously not the actual source of that leak. I think that one came from Switzerland, was the initial source of it.
A leak, you mean somebody was announcing an AWS prefix that should not have been and was drawing traffic their way?
Absolutely. So this was, I think it was a Swiss ISP or data center provider. And what we've actually seen in many of these cases is folks with various types of WAN optimization software and other routing optimization middle boxes that go a little haywire and accidentally advertise more specific prefixes out into the global routing tables that are picked up by the large ISPs can cause a lot of havoc. And we've seen this quite a few times over the last few months with both AWS and Akamai prefixes.
And so when that happens, you're going to see, how does that translate to me as the end user looking at the ThousandEyes interface? A route is being announced from somewhere that it should not have been. How is that information propagated up to me?
Yeah, so what we do right now, so there's kind of multiple cases where this can cause problems. In the case where there are actual a drop in reachability, that's going to trigger an outage in the current kind of definition of how we've described this routing outage. In the case where someone may have just, let's say, advertised a more specific prefix that now effectively is getting preference by the forwarding layer and the routing layer and all the routers of the internet, you'd actually you would see that prefix now show up in the context of your service. So we automatically give you all the prefixes that are associated with the destinations of your service that you're monitoring. And so in this case, we actually probably would not, in the case of an AWS example, find an issue if it didn't affect reachability. But if it's just affecting path changes, that's also interesting, and you'd see it in the data as well. So we have kind of a combination of things there, and that's also a place that we're working on in the future to extend this functionality as we can better define who should and who shouldn't be advertising routes, which is a tricky question to answer.
Yeah, and so the alerting can be just at the BGP layer, as Nick mentioned, where either you see a new block with your AS that has never been seen before, or you see a new next hop or something that is not one of your neighbors. But on the layer three side, you would typically see some terminal loss, and you would see loss in a network that has not been on the path before, because now that's where the routes are going to. So there's various ways to interpret, but there's some nuances on the data. And you know, one of the points I mentioned was just the sheer amount of activity going on the internet. And as we spoke, I just logged into the system, and I see that China Unicom backbone is actually having an issue right now, which is detected by our algorithm, which is affecting quite a lot of our customers. So it's really interesting to see this sort of, you know, live outages and when it's starting and when it's ending and what the scope of it is, et cetera.
We talked about like physical infrastructure kind of up through layer three sorts of impacts. What about higher level stuff like application outage? Like, I guess I'm thinking of DNS specifically, because if DNS is broken on the internet, that has a huge impact on everybody. Or is that like, you're kind of above the layer that you guys can detect?
So we definitely do a lot of DNS monitoring as well. In the case of the two types of outages we just described, depending on the channel, you know, what's going on with DNS, you may or may not see something in some of these outage detection. One of the places where we have seen this manifest itself is in DDoS attacks on DNS infrastructure. So there's been a lot of that recently. In cases where folks are trying to, let's say, attack your name servers, or maybe your name servers that are located in third-party providers, we've frequently seen problems where what that manifests itself as the congestion and failures of interfaces along those paths because of the attack traffic look like an outage. So I think one way that you can interpret all of this information is it's a helpful additional source of information to make decisions and to draw you much closer to what the root cause is. But you're still going to need to interpret the data given all the complexities going on across the internet. And so don't worry, you know, we're not putting anyone out of a job in this case, because all this stuff is so complicated that this is just an additional source of information in this particular case.
Yeah, and one of the quotes that a customer once told me is was very telling. And they said, hey, ThousandEyes lets our network engineers do network engineering, you know, and not just troubleshooting. So that's really interesting. And talking about the DNS infrastructure, if you look at our blog, there was a blog written on July 19th. Specifically focused on an attack on the root servers and the outages that resulted as a part of it. But it's really interesting because it shows that the DNS was impacted. It shows a layer three view, but it also shows that the origin AS at the BGP layer was switched. And this was likely done to read out traffic for scrubbing. So it's a very interesting analysis showing all the different correlations between BGP, you know, layer three, DNS, et cetera, which brings up the same point we were talking about. The outages can manifest in different forms, and the same outage at the layer three can impact DNS or can impact applications, etc.
Is this something I have to be a ThousandEyes customer to get to take advantage of, the internet outage detection, or is there some way I can tap into this not being a customer?
Yeah, so the beauty about ThousandEyes is that there is a light version, which you can sign up for free, and you can install up to three agents, run up to a certain number of tests. I believe it's three. And the idea behind that is you can get up and running. You can collect some initial data set. We will make sure that even if you're a light user, that you have access to the internet outage data. The outage data at this point of time is in context of your tests. So, you know, going forward, we'd be doing more than that and giving you a view of everything that you can see on the internet from an outage standpoint. But for this point of time in phase one, we're providing a view which tells you if you have a test running to a certain target and you see a packet loss event or a network degradation, you can actually see whether that's in context of a broader outage or if it's just you seeing something specific to your own application. And you can go up to thousandeyes.com/packetpushers to basically sign up for this light offering. And one thing I'd add is this is where the community effect actually adds to the quality of data. And so the more users we have signing up and adding tests, the higher quality we will get, as well as the higher coverage we will get out of this. So feel free to go and sign up and add to our community data collection.
You don't even have to feel guilty about not signing up for the service, because you're actually contributing to the community data pool and making a richer data set that benefits everybody.
Yeah, and that was the reason behind offering a version of this for free, because it's a win-win situation. We solve your problems and you help us collect more data.
Internet outage detection sounds very cool. One last point of clarification. Am I getting this as long as I'm a ThousandEyes customer, or is this like a license up sort of a feature?
No, you're getting this as long as you're a ThousandEyes user.
Okay. This is just new feature baked into the product. I love it.
Correct. Yep.
Another thing that you guys talked to me about when I was at Cisco Live was more vantage points. In other words, more places that I can deploy a ThousandEyes agent. I think the original form factor was a VM, right? And that was kind of it. If I remember right, correct me if I'm wrong, but I know the offerings have expanded quite a lot. So let's talk about that.
Sure. So as I was mentioning a little bit before, our enterprise agents, these are the software appliances, the software sensors that you can place in various parts of your WAN or other parts of your network. They're deployable as software on a number of different types of platforms. So it started as a virtual appliance. We also have a number of Linux flavors that you can deploy as a Linux package. And then over the past 6 months, we've been expanding that quite dramatically given customer feedback and the realities of what real-world wide area networks actually look like and real-world branch offices really look like. There's actually three new deployment models for the enterprise agent beyond those initial sets. So one is an ability to deploy enterprise agents on Intel NUCs. So we now provide a software image for an Intel NUC, and that's, for those of you familiar, kind of a small device, costs about $300. The idea behind this one was, how can we deploy enterprise agents in parts of the WAN that may not actually even have a server room or any sort of sophisticated either IT infrastructure or IT staff, particularly like retail branch offices and things like that.
So that NUC, as you pointed out, very small form factor, and that's a bare metal deployment is what we're saying here. I just load ThousandEyes on it. Now the NUC is dedicated as a ThousandEyes enterprise agent.
Exactly. So it already has a token associated for your account. It'll install all the dependencies with our basic virtual appliance right on top of it. And so it works right out of the package, given that just the software image itself.
Now, I think of the NUC as just basically a specially packaged x86 box. So would this run on some other x86, or is it really specialized for the NUC?
It's just been, packaged up in a nice way so that folks can apply it there, and it's been certified by our team so they can deploy it.
Yeah, and part of the certification is when we've put them through a lot of stress testing. So we tested a bunch of these micro appliance devices, and we put them through some stress testing to even see things like temperature, heating, and all kinds of things. And the NUC was the one that we've officially approved as something that works on our platform. But, it's available as a Linux package. And so some customers can still install it on other form factors that are small handheld devices. It's just not something that we have vouched for, as it won't burn down.
I get it. Makes sense. All right. So the NUC, very cool. And right, I can put that in a branch office pretty easily, especially if I'm space constrained and power constrained. What are the other new form factors?
Yeah, so the second one we announced was around Docker, so Docker containers. And so this is a bit of an evolution of the virtual appliance into the latest and greatest of virtual containers. And the reason we did this, actually, more so than from a customer request perspective, though we've certainly got a lot of customer engagement since we've announced it, is actually for our own internal use. So I also mentioned that we maintain a set of these agents around the internet. And for our own operations team to be able to deploy these agents in very diverse environments across, dozens and dozens of countries, all sorts of types of data centers, some with better functionality in terms of actually deploying software than others, we decided that Docker was actually a great way to do that. So we now offer that as a Docker container, and the initial use cases and initial interest there has been particularly among our customer base that is already experimenting with Docker, as well as typically parts of the data center, like a DMZ or internet-facing part of the data center, where you can just drop a small Docker container in one of those servers and run with it.
Yeah, and this is a good approach for people who work with a large scale of enterprise agents as well. So the idea was, as Nick mentioned, we developed this for our own management, but we quickly realized that this was also effective for our customers that were deploying lots of enterprise agents. So we have these customers with hundreds of agents, and they have now switched to a Docker environment or are working with a Docker environment just for ease of management and ease of deployment and so on. And it's something we're pretty excited about, probably more relevant to customers at a larger scale than some typical retail application, for example, where the NUC might be more relevant.
Yeah, but as Docker continues to get uptake in the industry, which it seems like it's continuing to build momentum,
yep.
And people start to figure it out and understand how to do the deployments, it's going to be more and more exciting for folks who want to use Docker, especially if they're trying. I mean, I can see this in a branch application where folks are looking to consolidate what the physical equipment footprint is out at that branch. Docker may be someplace that people naturally go. So it seems like a very logical place to go.
Agreed.
And we got one more here, and this is the one that I remember the most vividly, was I can deploy a ThousandEyes agent on certain Cisco IOS routers at this point, yeah?
Yeah, so this is an announcement we made earlier this month, just before Cisco Live, and we actually had one of the ISR 4000 series routers there in the booth as folks were stopping by. And so the story behind this is Cisco kind of a bit silently over the past few years has started baking in a virtual container technology into their Cisco IOS software, which is specifically supported on certain Cisco hardware, including the latest generation of the ISR and ASR routers. So typical in a branch office or in a WAN head-in location. And these virtual containers are based on KVM, so kind of similar in some ways to the Docker story, but obviously not based on Docker itself. And what has happened in this latest version of Cisco IOS 3.17 that really got launched towards the beginning of the year is that they've now supported the ability for third-party developers to much more easily develop for this platform. So we're one of the first applications that you can actually use that hasn't been deployed and developed by Cisco on these routers. And so as you are, you know, considering upgrades, this is, I think, something that's quite exciting, both not only for ThousandEyes Enterprise agents, but also for all the other types of applications over time that may be beneficial or interesting to deploy in a space or infrastructure constrained environment, or in a part of your network where you just may not have access to virtual machines or servers. So that was part of the reason there. And, you know, I guess the backstory behind this was actually working with Cisco IT themselves in their own network to deploy this was how we really got this whole project kicked off to begin with.
Now, if I leverage this solution because I've got an ISR 4000 series or an ASR 1000 series and I can load effectively a VM of ThousandEyes agent onto my iOS-based router, do I talk to Cisco TAC when I have a problem? Do I talk to ThousandEyes? How do we sort out that that line of support there?
Yeah, so first off, when you go to the product now, you will see a Cisco tab on the Add New Agent. So that's really the workflow to set up the agent, and it's pretty straightforward. Now, once you have an issue with the agent itself, you can do a lot of the troubleshooting and basic debugging through the system, through the online platform. So when you log in, you can see behavioral issues. If there's an issue with the agent itself, what the issue is, to a large extent, is on the online platform. Now, if the underlying issue is because of a fundamental problem in the architecture that they have, then it's a Cisco TAC issue. But for most parts, we expect this to be one where you don't have to involve Cisco. It's something that you can pretty much manage through the web interface on ThousandEyes, as well as just console if needed on the Cisco devices.
And just for architectural clarity, it's not that we're integrating ThousandEyes into iOS in some magical way. It's just that this router is a platform upon which you can deploy the ThousandEyes agent. I'm not going to the iOS command line and pulling ThousandEyes agent data into that. Again, it's just a host platform, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's it. You know, this is kind of a little bit of new territory, both for Cisco and for us. And given that, you know, we do want to be clear here. Yes, this is essentially a separate environment, a separate container within within the router. It runs on a relatively inexpensive SSD slot that's actually in these routers themselves and is otherwise supported by Cisco IOS. And, you know, it runs off a separate NIC within the router and all of that goodness. So it is completely isolated from that perspective and also, you know, locked down in terms of the amount of resources that it consumed, just like if you imagine you were running something like a VM on the router itself.
Yeah, but that's cool, though, because if the only thing I've got out there is one of these devices and I don't really want to have to deploy another piece of physical hardware, this solves a problem for me. I'll you're going to have a lot of uptake on this, I suspect.
Yeah, and the use cases were not only related to troubleshooting, but also related to planning. So a lot of our enterprise customers were in this motion of, hey, we're not sure of our MPLS connections anymore. They're too expensive. We're thinking about using internet. So they have split tunnels. And, you know, with the agents on the ISRs now, you can actually visualize what your DIA circuits look like going into Salesforce, how that same traffic and performance would look going through the MPLS environment, and do this clear visual on what looks better when, and be able to make the right decision. So it ties in very nicely into all these, you know, SD-WAN sort of use cases as well, which is really interesting.
Well, guys, we're getting to the end of our time, but I know there's a few more features that are worth chatting about. One was reverse path checking and then asymmetric routing detection as a part of that, which I thought was really interesting. Can you talk through that a bit?
Sure. So this is a feature which we kind of pushed out into the platform a few months ago. And why it's really exciting is obviously across wide area networks and across internet segments, you see a lot of asymmetric routing out there for anyone who kind of understands the workings of BGP. And when you're doing round trip detection of latencies or loss, when you're just looking at a trace route, for instance, in one direction, you're actually missing half the story there. What we've done is enabled you to now set up tests between two of these agents. So either a combination of agents in your own infrastructure, so the enterprise agents, or between an enterprise agent in your infrastructure and a cloud agent somewhere out on the internet that you might want to be able to monitor from. So to understand those internet-facing links and be able to see the forward and reverse path information, overlay them together, and also understand each of those metrics that you care about, like throughput or loss or latency, in each direction. So now you can find, for instance, if there's a problem solely on the reverse path in one provider or in one portion of your network, you're now not going to get confused or interpret it as a problem on the forward path, which may actually be completely distinct and maybe leading you to the wrong conclusion. So it's actually, I think, a really exciting development and one which should provide a lot of value to folks that are working over long distance circuits.
And again, the magic here is you're just taking two agents and firing tests at each other.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot that we've, you know, put in the background to make it easier to set this up and deploy it because, you know, folks run into issues with NATing and all sorts of other goodness across the internet. And so we've done a number of things in addition to just being able to point them in both directions that help with making this deployment a lot easier.
Now, I know there's been some reporting improvements, which I always thought your reporting was pretty good. So tell me what you improved.
Yeah, so not only are there a bunch of new ways that you can visualize the data, all sorts of different types of charts and graphs and such, but I think probably the most exciting thing is you can now embed live data directly from our platform on an external site. So you can do that, for instance, if you want to have a status page that live updates with certain metrics or certain types of charts or graphs. Or you could do that in an internal dashboard or some other internal site. And you can, you know, we actually do some of that on our blog and our website as well to help communicate interesting aspects of the data in a way so you're not always just grabbing an image or trying to dump this into a spreadsheet, which may not be worth your time to do it. So I think that's a pretty exciting thing there on the reporting side and one that we're constantly improving.
Yeah, and to add to that, our philosophy generally has been to really spend a lot of effort to make sure the interaction with the data is high quality. But at the same time, we are very interoperable in the sense that we have a very strong API because we expect customers to pull data into their broader monitoring or analytics platforms, and we're perfectly fine to support that. But the embeddable portion, again, is situations where customers have a NOC screen, right? And they have a system in place and they want one part of that to reflect ThousandEyes data. And they can now easily do that. They don't have to do a lot of programming for that. It's just works pretty much out of the box, and it's easy to plug into your own visualization and make the Thousand Eyes data part of the bigger story. So that's exciting.
Very cool. Well, guys, this has been a great update from Thousand Eyes. I love it that a new product came out. I'm not sure exactly when you started. I've been following you now for at least a couple of years, I think. And it's very cool that you keep adding features and you're doing so much more with data in the cloud, and that it's resulting in knowledge and insight when the internet, for so many of us, was like, you could read reports and go on the mailing list like you talked about and try to figure it out. Now you can see like concrete data that's telling you exactly what's going on. So it takes a lot of the mystery away, which is great. Absolutely great. Mohit, do you have any parting thoughts, maybe resources you'd like to direct people to, or other comments?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the essence of what we're doing in this phase is really combining all the community information and channeling that to the users. And for those, one thing I'd add is for those who have not signed up on Thousand Eyes, there's a light version. So go to thousandeyes.com/packetpushers and sign up. You don't have to pay anything. You can start using it right off the bat, and it'll give you instant value. The other part of the community knowledge and the data sharing is we put a lot of effort into our blog to be this channel of expert analysis on internet outages, and we do this pretty much near real time. So one, follow the blog, blog.thousandeyes.com. You will be updated on various internet events pretty much live, but outside of that, there's a lot of historic analysis on all kinds of interesting events. And so go sign up and find some interesting events. They're interactive. And if you have any comments as well on any sort of disagreements with our analysis, then reach out to us, because we do always, when we publish, are looking out for feedback on what the engineers have seen themselves and seeing if it all makes sense.
So can people interact with you on Twitter? I know it's one of the places network engineers are really active.
Yeah, absolutely. So just follow us at Thousand Eyes, and we'll get back to you there. You can comment on our blog and obviously find other channels to reach us as well. And you can also live chat with us in the product. So if you start seeing internet outages and want to understand a little bit more about them, you can actually live chat with our team as well. So lots of options to get a hold of us.
Very cool. Well, thanks a lot, guys, Nick and Mohit, for coming on the show, talking about Thousand Eyes and what's going on. I like to hear the nerdy stuff going on with products, and I think we did that today. And thanks to you for listening to Packet Pushers. You can find this and many more fine, free technical podcasts, along with our community blog, at packetpushers.net. By community blog, I mean engineers who are just writing about their projects and what they're doing and work life and new technology and so on in their own voice. And you can do that too if you like. Follow us on Twitter at Packet Pushers. Find us on LinkedIn. Like us on Facebook. Rate us on iTunes. Please do. That really helps us a lot. And last but not least, remember that too much networking would never be enough.